and my Redeemer. And then we have John 1:1 and 14a. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Wow, that song really touched my heart. I am weak, but thou, you are strong, right? My voice is now getting cracking, but I hope you can hear me well. So we have been talking about the power of word. Your word has the power, so much power, to build others up or tear them down. You can give life. Literally, you can give life. Somebody back from darkness, so despair, to life, or destroy them. So we are going to talk about the power of word today, especially about God. The way we talk about God, the way we use the name God, and we will talk about the word we speak to ourselves. And finally, we will talk about the power of God's word to us today. So you have the Bible verse card in your bulletin I gave you 3 weeks ago, and I give it to you again today, just in case your dog ate that. I hope you to take it, put it somewhere you can see it, or you can carry them so that you may read it and remind of your power of word. So let's read it together. On your screen, we have it. So let's read it. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Amen. Amen. Loving. In our scripture reading, another one, we have the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, your God, in vain. Our God. What does that mean? I want to talk a little bit about that. In the Old Testament, there are multiple names of God, multiple names for God. The God, this word is a generic term. It's not a name, technically. So there are numerous other names we find in the Old Testament. But one of them rises above all others. It is found over 6,000 times in the Old Testament, much more than all of the other names combined. And that's the name God revealed God's self to Moses. And we remember Moses. He was in the wilderness, and God revealed God's self to Moses through the burning bush. Moses come near, and God says, come on, you stay there. Don't come. Take off your shoes. You are standing on the holy ground. And God commands Moses, go back to Egypt and set the Israelites free. Then Moses asks, who are you? Whom shall I say is sending me? Who are you? What is your name? Then God replies, my name is Yahweh. We don't know precisely what it means, but we have it in our Bible translated, I am that I am. I am that I am. What a strange name. This is something to do with the Hebrew word for to be or to exist. So biblical scholars have wrestled with what it means, I am that I am. And Paul Tillich, one of the great theologians, he said, it means I am the source of life. I am the source of existence itself. God is claiming, you come from me. Everything that exists around the world, you come from me. Everything that exists derives its existence from me. And this is the holy and mysterious name for God, Yahweh. So third commandment, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. And what does that mean? Just the naming God? Such as, oh my God? You know, a few years ago, there was a little baby in my previous church, little baby, 2-year-old. He always said just one word, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my God. He kept saying, and it was so cute. Just imagine that little boy kept saying, and he learned that from his grandma. His grandma always said, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my God. What about that? Or some sort of swearing word? It might be, but I don't think that is primary things that the third commandment was written about. I think the third commandment has to do with invoking God's name in places where God would not want God's name involved. It is to cover things that are self-serving in God's name. I believe God's anger. I don't usually talk about God's anger, but at this point, I believe God's anger burns when people use God's name as an excuse or a means of marginalizing or wounding vulnerable people, hurting people. When I went to a seminary in Evanston, Illinois, one of my professors was a well-known Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Herman Shalman. At the time, he was 94 years old. 94 years old. This 94-year-old professor enjoyed playing tennis. He talked to me, Paul, you might be young. Oh yeah, I was young at the time. Paul, you might be young and smart, but I'm a better tennis player than you. I can beat you down anytime. And he was. Literally, he was amazing. He has been teaching at the seminary for 55 years. And one day, my wife and I went to his synagogue and joined their service. And I met his daughter. And we made a conversation about what's going on around the world and Israel and the Holy Land. And during the conversation, she was very, very upset about what had happened in the Holy Land. Because even though she was a Jew, she thought the current Israeli government had oppressed, controlled, and killed many Palestinians. And she said they were using God's name in vain. We know the people baptized were in God's name throughout our human history, not just Germany, just less than a century ago. They had on their belt buckle of their uniform, Gott mit uns. Gott mit uns, which means God is with us. God is with us as they were marching in the battle. And in our time, the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill, he blessed the Russian invasion into Ukraine and blessed and encouraged the Russian soldiers to step in what he called the Holy War. We don't have to go back to crusade. Somehow, in Jesus' name, that's the way we as human beings wrestle with misusing the name of God. Then some of you might think, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't live like that. I don't kill any human beings using God's name. Then how does it apply to us? When I think about that, I can't help but say we, you and I, represent God to the world. We claim to be followers of God, followers of Jesus. Sometimes with our words, we say things, we can say things that push people away from Jesus or draw them closer to Jesus. So I wanna ask ourselves whether the way we speak, the way we live our lives actually pushes people away from Jesus or draws them to Jesus. And I suspect I'm guilty of that at some point in my life. And I want to make sure the words that I speak and the meditation of my heart are acceptable to Jesus, our rock and redeemer. And I want to make sure that I let no evil talk come out of my mouth, but what is useful for building others up as there is need, so that my words might give grace to those who hear. And I want to invite you to join me, actually to join Jesus in this way of speaking and living our lives as Christians. And when we do that, and I believe we are drawing people to God. We are manifesting God's love to other people as we claim to follow Jesus and serve. And that's the first point of this sermon. And the second point is, it is about our self-talk, the word we use to ourselves. In this sermon series, we have been talking about the word we hurt, tear down, and destroy others. But I want to talk about ourselves. Self-talk, we talk to ourselves. Are we letting evil talk come into our mind? Is that really useful for building myself, ourselves up, or tearing us down? Do we allow God's grace to ourselves? I have met so many people consciously or unconsciously who speak to themselves, "No, I can't. I don't think that I can do that." Okay, yes, if it is really something we can't, it is okay. You know what? I can say that I can't sing today. I have my sore throat now, congestion. I may mumble or my voice is cracking now. It is okay. I can't. I believe it is okay sometimes not to be okay. God knows us. I'm not perfect. None of us is. We are not Jesus. We may be sometimes vulnerable as we feel, and we need to come close to God as we are. It is okay not to be okay. Then I believe, even in our weakness, God is going to touch our heart. God is going to use us. God is going to speak to us. But now I'm talking about some other stuff, negative self-talk. A while ago, a pastor that I know, he asked the people to write on his Facebook something negative self-talk. I want to talk a few of them. One person posted, "I actually don't believe I can do anything. God might want me to do something. God might want me to become the person like someone, somehow. But I don't think that I can do that." Another lady, she said, "I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy." And another post, it says, "Nobody listened to me. Nobody cares for what I said." And another person, "I was told at my young age I would never make it. I would never succeed in anything. Maybe my mom didn't mean to say, but that stuck in my mind, and I'm 70 years old." I don't know if you had any kind of those self-talk, things you say to yourself that hurt your confidence, your self-regard, and that tears down God's image in you. At some point in our lives, especially when we are vulnerable, you know, when I was sick, 24 hours or 30 hours of fever, 103, and heavy headache, wow, all the negative thought and idea, overwhelmed. Sometimes that happens. We may think we are unlovable, unloved, unforgivable, unworthy, uninteresting, unintelligent, or any kind of un to ourselves. In this case, what I want us to think is the word God speaks to us. God is speaking to you and me even before we were born. God speaks word that gives us life and builds us up. God speaks word to us that have the power to change everything. And I want us to think about the power of God. We worship God. And God is whispering, nudging, and speaking to us. And the Bible bears a lot of witnesses, and we hear that. And we have God in our lives. God speaks during the sermon, or the music, or our gathering, or ministry. God speaks in our own lives and the nature when we listen. The Gospel of John proclaims in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John's time, the Word, it meant existence, it meant wisdom, it meant life. God's word has the power to create. And he continues, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen the glory. It is Jesus. That Word of God can transform our lives. Once we trust in Jesus, when we accept Jesus as Savior with our whole heart, once when we believe God's love for us, when we say to God, yes, yes, I believe you can forgive us. I believe you say I'm worthy. I believe you are, you know my name. I matter to you. So that is my invitation. We have gone through whole stories, the series of sermons on the power of word. And this is the most powerful word, and we have to claim it. We have to live it. And it goes back to the beginning of this sermon series. How do you think people who don't go to church and who don't know Jesus may hear God? They hear God through you and me. You are the only Bible, open word of God to them. That's why we have more power when we speak about God. And I hope we remember that. We let no evil talk come out of our mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that our words might give grace to those who hear and to ourselves. And we let people to see Christ in us, to hear God's word through us.